Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you will find 5 lines from the top of Daf Ayin Hey. The topic that we have in the margin, Sa'ah B'sa'ah. We have discussed this extensively in our previous shiurim, and we'll just briefly repeat. The issue concerns loaning a quantity of goods, of produce. A sa'ah is a name of a dry measure, in an expectation of having that same product and same quantity returned to you at a later date. Rabbinically, we prohibit that because we're fearful that the value of that same quantity of item may go up in price, so that the lender is receiving more, greater value than that which he lent initially. And of course, receiving more in return is problematic, and it gets involved with the problem of ribis. On a Torah level, we would not say this is a violation because there was no stated fixed amount of interest to be paid that was stated at the outset when the loan was extended. No mention of that was made, and the same quantity, in fact, is returned, but as we said, there is the fear that it may go up in price. The Mishnah. Lo yoimar adam lechavero, one should not say to his friend, halveni kur chitin, vani ate lecho legorin, loan to me a kur. That's another dry measure. It's 30 times as 30 times as large as a saw. There are 30 saw in a kur. So a person should not say, loan to me a kur of chitin, and I will return you a kur of chitin later on. The gorin is the season in which the grains are processed at the granary. Avol, oimer lo, however, a person can say the following. Halveni, loan me a particular quantity of item. Until my son comes, or until I find the key. In other words, if a person is in need of something, he's in need of some food, grains, and he is in current possession of them, but for some technical reason he doesn't have access to it. He can borrow, he can say, loan to me that product, and I will give you that quantity back when my son comes. In other words, my son knows where it is and he can give it to you. But I currently own it. I just have this technical problem that I don't have access to it. Or I have it, but I don't know where the key is in order to open the door to access it. So until I find the key, would you loan me that item, and I will give you back that quantity later on. The reason that that is allowed is because as soon as I borrow it, that same quantity that I have in that other location is considered as if it's yours. So there's no issue of waiting for payback. The payback in your mind's eye is really instant, and just the access to it is the technical problem that might cause a delay. but it's not a built-in delay factor in order to wait for the payback. And that, of course, is in stark contrast to a standard loan where I borrow money, and the understanding is that you don't get the payback until a certain amount of time lapses. The Hillel Oser, but Hillel was very, we'll say, strict in this area, and he prohibits. The Chen Hoya Hillel Omer, and likewise Hillel says, Lo Silva Isha Kikor Lechaverta, a woman should not loan a loaf of bread to her friend, Ad Shetasel Domim, Ad Shetasenu Domim, until the lender establishes the value of that loaf. Shema Yuku Chitim Vimsu Bois Lide Ribis. The fear being that maybe wheat, which is the raw material for the baking of the bread, will go up in price, and the loaf returned would be worth more. And we want to avoid that. So establish the price of the loaf that's being loaned, or it's, and when the return comes to be, so if the value goes up, so the pre-established value of the loaf will be paid back, or half a loaf would be paid back. The Gemara. Before we learn the Gemara text, let us glance at the side under the Nosei, the topic heading. Machlokes Rav Huna of Rav Yitzchok. We'll see a disagreement between these two Amoroyim. Mosai Efsher Lahalvoi Sa'a B'Sander. What circumstances can we in fact allow a Sa'a B'Sa'a type loan, where I give you a measure of food, and the expectation is you will return that same measure back to me at a later time. Omar Ravuna, Yesh lo sa'a, lova sa'a. Sa'asayim, lova sa'asayim. If a person that needs to borrow a saw of food, and the borrower happens to own a saw, he, for whatever reasons, he needs an extra saw. The one saw that he has is not enough for his needs. He needs another saw. So Rav Huna says that if a person currently owns a saw, he can borrow a saw. In other words, there's no problem of saw b'saw. Why not? Because the saw that I currently have, when I receive from the lender a saw, the saw that I have is considered in your mind's eye as if it is the immediate payback for the saw that I just received. So if you have immediate payback, you're out of the forest. You don't have any problem of ribis. If you have two saw, that would entitle you, according to Rav Huna, to borrow two saw. Again, as we said, the two saw that you have would be considered as if it's the immediate payback for the two saw that you are receiving right now as the loan. Rav Yitzchok, you'll find he's more lenient. Rav Yitzchok Omer, afilu yesh lo saw, if you have even one saw, lova oleo kamo kurin, you can borrow based on that many kurin. And we mentioned before that one saw is 1/30th of a kur. And he's telling you, if you own one saw, you can borrow many kur because you have one saw. And now the analysis, this is in your mind's eye. Each saw of those many kurim that you're going to be receiving, each saw that you receive is considered to be paid back for immediately. So that saw that I borrowed is covered by the saw that I have that the borrower already has, his own saw. So it was borrowed under heter circumstances. So once you borrowed it, so that's finished. We don't have to consider it anymore. Go ahead and now borrow another saw because of the one saw that you have. And you repeat that again and again and again. And in the end, you will have borrowed many kur based on that one saw that you happen to have owned. Rashi, kama kurin, on the second narrow line, the chochado v'chado, each saw that I'm borrowing, amrinon, we say, zu tehe tachteo, that this one, the one that I own, shall be in its stead. Share, eino knuya l'malve, the saw that I have isn't actually owned by the malve. The borrower can still eat it, he can sell it. It then turns out that the one that I borrowed, so it's considered, we'll say, payable based on the same item that's available in the market. So that the one that I just borrowed is then covered, v'zu p'nuya l'uvo soleo, and the original one, the original saw that I have, is now available for a new loan. Recycle. Ukshelova kolachas v'achas, lova beheter, and each saw that I'm borrowing, when you look at it on an individual basis, we say you borrowed it under heter circumstances. Heter meaning you borrow, and then you're able to pay back the saw without worrying about the problem of saw b'saw. Let us turn back to the Gemara. So we have presented Rav Huna and Rav Yitzchok. If you own one saw as a borrower, are you limited to then borrowing just one saw? Or can you borrow many, many more? That's the machlokas. Tony Reb Chiya l'siur the Reb Yitzchok. Reb Chiya presents a Tanaic source that supports the Amoraic opinion of Reb Yitzchok. Tipas yayin, ein lo. Tipas shemen, ein lo. The source is quite terse, but we can infer from it, ha yeshlo, if, however, someone has a drop of wine, so then lo ve'olel kamotipin. The source itself said he doesn't have even a drop of wine, or if he doesn't have even a drop of shemen, then, of shemen meaning oil, then he cannot borrow that item and pay it that same quantity back later on. But if he does have a drop of wine, or if he does have a drop of oil, that would entitle him to borrow many, many drops as a result. The Hillel Oyser, Hillel prohibited. Om Rav Nachman, Om Shmuel Halacha, Kedivrei Hillel. So Rav Nachman rules like Hillel, you can't borrow under any circumstances a sa'ah in anticipation of returning a sa'ah, even in the case of ad shiyavo b'ni or ad shemso mafteach. The less hichusok of aseba, the Gemara itself rejects Rav Nachman's ruling and says we don't rule like that, but we do allow sa'ah b'sa'ah when it's in under conditions of ad she emso mafteach or ad she yovo veni. V'chein ho yehillel oimer lo sove isha v'chulei. We saw Hillel in the Mishnah saying that a woman shouldn't borrow even a loaf of bread from her friend with the anticipation of paying back a loaf unless the initial loaf that was borrowed was evaluated and assessed, and we know its value, so that if there would be any change in value, if the value would go up, then the woman would pay back that value and not pay back a loaf. Omar, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. You see, we have a double underline marking, and on the side in the margin under the Mivneh heading, we indicate Sidra Shel Halachos Shel Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, a series of halachos presented by him. So, Omar, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Zu Divrei Hillel, Avo Chachomim Omrim, Lovim Stam, Uporim Stam. The Chachomim disagree with Hillel and say people can borrow without affixing a price to the item and pay back that same item without worrying. The Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel Bnei Chabura Hamakpidim Ze Al Ze. Rashi says Bnei Chabura Holchem Baderach, a group of people that are on the road, or Yoshim B'Bayis Achas, Ish L'Sudas Atzmo, each one has his own food. Hamakpidim Ze Al Ze. Rashi says She'ein Mochalim Al Dover Muat. They're not forgiving on even small amounts. And if one borrows from the other, then he's very scrupulous to measure the item, weigh the item, or count the item to make sure what he's giving is that which he will receive in return. That's makpidim. They are not foregoing. They do not overlook, but rather they scrutinize, and as we saw just now in the Rashi. So what happens with people that behave like that? So Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, Oivrin Mishum Mida, Umishum Mishkal, Umishum Minyan, Umishum Lovin Uporim B'Yom Tov, Ufudivri Hillel, Af Mishum Ribis. So there's quite a list of things that these people subject themselves to, problems. We'll call it sinful behavior. In what sense? So when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, one is not allowed by rabbinic decree to engage in weights and measures. But people who behave like this, that are so unforgiving, uncompromising. So as we said, the people that have that tendency to be so particular and uncompromising, their natural tendency is such that when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, they'll continue in that behavior, and that will lead them to measuring, to weighing things, and that happens to be prohibited on Shabbosim and Yomim Tovim. Another problem that they will encounter is their loivin uporim b'yom tov. Rashi explains mishum loivin uporim d'snam sechah Shabbos, when it's taught there ubavash liyomer loy halveni v'hosim aforish time Hashem yichtov. Person receiving something, borrowing things from his friend, from his neighbor, when it comes to Shabbos, is to be careful not to use the word halveni, because halveni will lead to someone actually writing it down on Shabbos. But people who are so particular, they'll come to this kind of violation of using the terms that one's not supposed to use. And another problem would be if you happen to hold like Hillel, you're going to be over. You'll be in violation of ribis. That being that they're so particular, then every amount of item and value becomes significant. And if you borrowed and then expect to repay that same amount in such an exacting way, and it happens to go up in value, you will be in violation of ribis, according to Hillel. The Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Talmidei Chachamim, Mutarin Lilvoy Zeh Mizeh Beribis. Torah scholars can borrow from one another. If you translate it literally, it means borrow from one another with interest and pay back with interest. But I don't think that you should say that in a literal fashion, but rather, Talmidei Chacham can borrow from one another in a, we'll say, in a sa'ah b'sa'ah fashion, and not worry about ribbis, my time, or why is that not a problem? May the yadi de ribbis asura, the rabbis know that ribbis is prohibited. Umatonahu di avi ad yahavu adavi. And when they're giving back more, so they are they're giving it as a gift, as an independent gift, not as payment for the loan. Tosfos at the bottom says, it appears that this is applicable when you're dealing with a small amount. It's an amount that he knows he would have given to his friend anyway. And even a small amount, dafke b'talmide chachamim. It could be then that Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel isn't really limited just to saw b'saw, but I'll give you, I'll borrow from you a dollar, and I'll give you back a dollar ten. The 10 cents extra that I'm giving isn't to be viewed as ribbis, but simply as a gift. And as we saw in Tosfos, that applies. That kind of behavior would apply only to Talmidei Chachamim, because of their knowledge that ribbis is prohibited, and that therefore the extra that they're giving is independent of the loan that they received. Omar le Shmuel lavua bar ihi, halveni mea pilpulin v'mea v'yeshim pilpulin. So Shmuel says to Avua, loan me 100 pilpulin, type of vegetable, often translated as peppers, and I will give you 120. V'orech, and that's fine. The extra 20 that I'm giving is a gift. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, mutu lo li'odim lahalveis bonov uvnei beiso beribis. A father can loan his sons and other members of his family with interest. Kidei lehat imon tam ribis, so as to give them a taste of the unpleasantness and painfulness of and pain of charging interest. And so as part of his, we'll say, his education, that is what he can do, and they'll understand how in their adult life, in their dealings with the general public, how they have to avoid such behavior. The Gemara, though, says regarding Rav Yehuda's suggestion or heter, the lav milsahi, it's not the right thing to do. Mishum da'osi lemisrach. If in your house you loan your children or members of your household and expect greater payback, Rashi says lemisrach lahargil shiyachmod libom haschar. They might continue this because of their eventual desire of receiving profits like that, namely through interest. So don't create an environment or spirit in your household of loans with interest, so as to avoid them continuing that outside. The Mishnah. On the side, we have a topic heading, Ribbis b'sheirut tumurat sheirut. Ribbis in the form of services provided and services returned. The Mishnah. Oimer odom l'chavero, nachesh imi v'nachesh imcha. Nachesh is one of the cultivation procedures. We might call it weeding one's field. So you can say, you help me in the weeding, and I will help you. Ador imi, v'ador imoch. Ador is to dig in and turn over the soil, aerate the soil. You aerate with me, and I will aerate with you. The lo yomar lo, however, do not say, nachesh imi v'ador imcha. Adori mi v'nachesh imcha. Here you have, you do for me one service, and I'll do for you in kind another service. And the reason for that is sometimes one is easier than the other, or one is more difficult than the other, so that you will be providing for me the easier activity, and when it comes time for me to return the favor to you, I'll be doing the the more difficult kind of action, and hence worth more. And there you've got the problem of ribus, of paying back more than you received. The Gemara continues on Amud Beis. I should say the Mishnah continues. Kol Yemei Grid Echad. Grid is a dry season. Kol Yemei Revi'a Achas. All the days of the rainy season are considered one. What practical benefit does that have for us? So Rashi at the top explains. Kol Yemei Grid Echad Heim. V'lo Diktiku B'Dovar Lachush. And we don't become so particular to suspect within one season Shemo Yoim Echod Yehi Oruch Mechavero O Koshe Mechavero, that one day might be longer and might be more hours in the day than the other, even though we know that on a daily basis the amount of daylight that exists from day to day either increases or decreases. But nevertheless, we view all the days of that season as uniform in terms of time and in terms of difficulty of work. And we don't say that one day is longer than the other or one day is more difficult than the other in terms of work. Referring to the type of service exchange that is allowed. Like we saw at the beginning of the Mishnah, Ador, it's an aerate the soil for me today, and I'll return you the favor later time. As long as that later time is in the same season, it's okay. There might be more daylight hours 2-3 months down the road, or the soil might be harder to aerate 2-3 months down the road. That's still okay. The Mishnah goes on. Lo yomar lo charosh imi begrid vani echrosh imcha beravia. Here we have same service but different season. So you cannot say plow for me during the dry season, and I will help you plow during the rainy season. The Rashi points out that during the revia, the rainy season, The work in the field is more difficult, and hence worth more. Rabban Gamliel Omer, Yesh Ribis Mugdemes V'Yesh Ribis Mu'ucheres. Two terms, and these are terms that we've actually seen earlier in the Masifta, and here we see it at its source. Ketzad, what is meant by these terms? Nosan Einov Luvois Hemenu, a person is interested in borrowing money, so he has his eyes on a particular lender. V'hu mishalech lo v'yomer. And he sends a gift to the lender and says, take this gift, b'shvil shetilaveni. I'm giving this to you in an expectation of your extending to me a loan. Zuhi ribis mukdemas. That's called interest given early, meaning before the actual loan. Now, the other example, loiva heimenu v'hirsir lo es moisav, person borrowed money, paid back the loan, v'mishalech lo v'yomer, and he sends a gift and says, this gift is b'shvil ma'oisecha shayu b'telus etzli. This is a gift because of the money that was b'telus, literally means was out of use. While by me. In other words, the money that I borrowed from you was money that, since I borrowed it, you weren't able to use it. It was out of service as far as you were concerned. So you didn't have use of your money as long as it was by me. So as in gratitude for your having extended me your money and allowing it to be by me, accept this gift. Zuhi ribis mucheres. That's an example of interest that's post facto, that's after the loan. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yesh Ribis Dvarim. There's an example of ribis through words. Lo Yomar Lo, the borrower shall not say to the lender, Da Kivo Ish Ploni Mimokom Ploni. You should know, and he gives him this valuable or information, useful information, you should know that so-and-so is coming from such-and-such a place. These prohibitions, Ribis Dvorim, is understood to be binding in cases where if the loan had not taken place, so the borrower would not have shared that information. Only because he received a loan did he then speak and share this information with the lender. V'elu oivrim b'loy sase. The following are those that are in violation of the prohibition of interest. Hamalvev, aloivev, orev, v'oedim. The lender, the borrower, the guarantor, and the witnesses that sign on a loan document that's an interest-bearing loan. V'chachomim, omrim af, hasoifer, the scribe as well, oivrim, and we mentioned that they were in violation of a negative command. Here are the negative commands that they are potentially in violation of. The Gemara will be more specific who is in violation of what, but here is the list of violations that arise in the context of loans that bear interest. Lo sitain. There's a Rashi, you'll notice on the upper lines, there's a star, and Rashi points out what we just said. You'll see in the Gemara, Kol chad v'chad mai d'shayach bei. Each one of these players is in violation of that posuk which is relevant to him. So, the lo sitain, Rashi points out, the pasuk says, Lo sitain es kaspecha, or lo sitain lo b'neshech, the lender who gives money in interest, in expectation of receiving interest, is in violation of the psukim that speak about lo sitain. Umishum, the Gemara goes on, Al tikach me'ito, do not take from him interest. Umishum lo ye lo kenoshe. Do not be one who bears pressure upon the borrower to pay up. Umishum lo sesimu lo vneshech. Umishum lufne iver lo sitein michshol. There's a violation of placing a stumbling block in front of the unassuming, the unaware. Vioresa. There, should read the pasuk. If they even lo sitein michshol v'yoreso me'elokecha ani Hashem. Tanya, Reb Shimcha Omer, minayin l'noishe b'chavero mona, v'eino rogi lahaktim lo shalom. From where do we know that one who is borrowing, who is seeking collection of a loan from his friend, of a mona? Mona is an amount of money, and the borrower doesn't usually greet this lender with a shalom, with a good morning. Sha'asu lahaktim lo shalom. It's in a case like that, if you received a loan from a particular individual that we just described as one who you ordinarily would not greet, now you've received a loan from him and you start greeting him, that's prohibited. Talmud Lomar, Neshech Kol Dovar, Asher Yishach. The expression Kol Dovar, Afilu Dibur Aser. Even speech could become a form of interest, and hence prohibited to pay, to give. In this sense, prohibited to speak. V'elu Oivrim, Omar Abaye. And now the Gemara goes over the sins that the Mishnah made reference to and specifies who is in violation of what. So you'll notice we have a double underline marking highlighting Malve, Loive, Orev, and Edom, and on the side of the Gemara, we indicate under our structural note, Hadgoshes, Hashutafim, Hashonim, Behalvoas, Ribis, the highlighting of the different participants in a in an interest-bearing loan. Omar Abai, Malve, Oiver, Bekulan. The Malve, the lender who takes interest, is in violation of all those offenses that were mentioned in the Mishnah. Love oiver mishum lo sashich lochicha. Ulochicha loi sashich. Ulifne iver lo zite mitchel. The borrower is in violation of these sins. Lo sashich lochicha is the prohibition of giving interest to the lender. And in addition to those two prohibitions, lo sashich lochicha and lochicha lo sashich, there's also the avera of lifnei iver lo sitei mitchel. By your giving money to the lender, you're causing him, the lender, to be in violation of collecting ribis. So you're causing him to be in violation, and that is referred to throughout the Torah by the term lifnei iver lo sitei mitchel. Literally, do not place a stumbling block in front of the blind individual. But of course, it has much broader ramifications than the literal translation, as we just described. Orev v'edim, the guarantor of an interest-bearing loan, and the witnesses that sign on, ein ovrim elo mishum lo sesimun olav neshech. That pasuk, do not place upon him interest. They, by ensuring that the loan will be paid up, and the witnesses, by signing on the document, are participants in the placing upon the borrower interest. There's a discussion concerning the problem of lifnei iver lo sitei mitchel. Are they in violation of that as well? Tosfos points out that they could be in violation of, that is, the Orev and the Edim, if the lender would not have extended the loan without their involvement, without their presence. Let's continue in the Gemara. Tanya, Reb Shimon Oimer, Malve Ribis, those that lend money for interest, yosumi mashem avichem avsidim, more than they gain, they lose. V'la'od ella she mesimin Moshe Rabbeinu, the following lines of this source are to be understood in a euphemistic terms, in opposite terms. So we'll read, translate, but you have to understand that it's really the opposite. And those that extend loans but insist on interest, they place Moshe Rabbeinu as a they establish him as a chacham, as a wise man, the Seirosu Emes, and his Torah truthful, which you have to understand that they who extend money with insistence on receiving interest are tantamount to those declaring that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know what he's talking about when he writes by the word of the Almighty the prohibition of interest as if it's a bad thing. They extend loans and insist on getting interest because interest is a good thing. So they're contradicting the wisdom of Moshe Rabbeinu, declaring that he is not wise, and that the Torah is not a book of truth. The Oimrim, and they declare by their action, by loaning with interest, Ilu Hoya Yodea Moshe Rabbeinu Shia Revach Badover Loya Kosmo, had Moshe known that there's profit to be made, he wouldn't have written that as being prohibited. Kiyosu Rav Dimi Omar, when Rav Dimi came, he said, Minayin Lenoshe B'Chaver Amona V'Yodea Sheimlo, from where do you know that If someone owes you money, you're trying, no shibach haver, you're trying to collect a debt from so-and-so, a mona, it's an amount of money, and you know that he, the debtor, doesn't have the means of paying up. She'asu lavor lefanov. You're not to pass by him, creating pressure on that poor soul. Talmud lomar, lo sia lo kenosha. Do not be upon him like an oppressor. Ravami Ravasi Dami Travayu, they both say that one who behaves like that, kiludono bishne dinim, it's as if you're subjecting the debtor to two punishments. Shinemar, the Pasuk says here, Kafta Enoish Loroshenu, Bonu Be'esh Uvamayim. And Rashi says Loroshenu Losho Noishe Kidamitarguminon Ki Rasha Hare Onu Boyim Be'esh Uvamayim. That when you are being, we'll say, oppressed, pressured by someone trying to collect a debt, and you don't have the means of paying up, it's as if you're being subjected to fire and water. Fire burnt and drowning in water. Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, call me Sheyesh lo mois umava oison shelo be'edim. He who has money loans the money without witnesses present. Oiver mishum lefneiver loisite michshol. You are in violation of placing a stumbling block in front of the one who is borrowing the money. Why? The borrower sees there are no witnesses. So it's very tempting to eventually deny ever having received the loan. Denial of receiving the loan. Which, of course, is quite sinful. You receive money, you have to pay it back. If there are witnesses there, so it won't occur to him to deny having received the loan. There are witnesses that will testify against him. But without witnesses, you're tempting him to sin in the form of denying having received money, which you did. Reish Lakish Omar, Gurim Klololi Atzmo. One who loans money without witnesses is causing a curse to be brought upon him, to be brought upon himself. Shneamar te olamno sifse sheker hadovrus al tzadik osok. The idea here is that if you loan money to someone and there are no witnesses, and you come to collect, you say, you know, you owe me money, the borrower will be tempted to say, what are you trying to collect money that I don't owe you? And then he'll start cursing you for having tried to collect money that he denies owing. So by loaning the money without witnesses, you're bringing upon yourself the curse. Omar Omule Rabbonon L'Ravashi. The Rabbonon, the rabbis, told Ravashi. They praised Ravina, and they said, "Kamakayim Ravina kol ma de'omer Rabbonan." Ravina fulfills everything the rabbis teach. Sholach le bahadi panyo demale shabbato. One day, it was a Friday, late Friday afternoon, and Rav Ashi sent a message to Ravina, "Lishter li mor asora zuzi de isram li liktino de arla mizvan." Would you send to me, I need to borrow money, I need to borrow 10 zuz, an amount of money, because I have an opportunity arose just now, it's late Erev Shabbos, to purchase a small piece of land. An investment, a land investment, just arose, and I don't have ready cash. Can you loan me the 10 zuz needed for me to purchase the katino, small dara, piece of land? Sholach le, Ravina sends back to Ravashi, Nesi mor sadi v'nichtav kasva, bring witnesses and we'll write it up. So I'll loan you the 10 zuz. It'll be written up in a document signed by witnesses. Sholach Lei, Suravashi says, Afilu Ano Nami, even the likes of me, even me, what, you don't trust me? Just send me the money and I'll pay you back later. What do you need? You need to have witnesses and a document. Sholach Lei, Ravina sent back. Kosei Kemar, all the more so in your case. The Torah B'Girsei, you're immersed in your Torah studies. Mishtali, you'll forget because of your total immersion in Torah, of course, to the credit of Ravashi and his greatness, but because of that, Mishli, you'll forget the loan that I extended to you. Vigarim Klo will ask me, and when I seek out the loan, then you'll end up cursing me for asking for money that you think that you don't owe me. Tono Rabbanon, Shloishut Soyakim Ve'enon Ne'enin. There are three that can scream. Rashi says, "Sukim bebeisin shalmata, veino nenin," and they won't be answered. And why will they not be answered? Because they are causing their own problems. Veiluhin, mi shiyeshlo moisu malvoisin shlo beitim. One who has money that's owed him, or money that he has, and he loans it without witnesses. When he finds that the borrower denies it, and the lender starts to scream and turns to court, the court will say, "Listen, you brought it on yourself. You loaned the money without witnesses." Number two, Valkina Odoim La'atzmo. This will have to be explained later. Omisha ishtoi moshelas olav, and one who is ruled over by his wife. Kaina adoin latsmo mahi. What's the reference to someone who kaina adoin latsmo literally means he acquires a master over himself. What is that a reference to? So, Ika the Amri, Toila Nechosav ben Nochri. Rashi says, Toila, Rashi has a slightly different girsa than we have, but he says, Toila Ma'oisav ben Nochri. Oimer, Ma'ois Shani, Mishtamish Bohen. Person claims the money that I use, the money that I have, Shaploni Nochriheim. It's not my money, it belongs to so and so, the idol worshiper. And why? What would motivate someone to say that when it actually is your own money? Why would you claim that the money is someone else's? Shelo lahasbia atzmo, so as to avoid the impression that could be created that you're a man of means. So as to avoid appearing as a person of means, you would ascribe your money or describe your money, your wealth, as really belonging to someone else. What's the problem? Sometimes the idol worshiper will actually hear what you're claiming, and he'll set up witnesses that will testify that you admit that the money is his, and then lay claim in court to get what you are saying, what you're verbally declaring as his. Another pshat, another explanation. Ikod Yamri Hakosev Nechosov Livonov Bechayov. One who writes over his property to his children during his own lifetime. He's subjecting himself to the children and claiming ownership, and that's another explanation of what Kina Odoin Leatzmo is. Ikod Yamri, a third explanation, Debish Le Baha Masa, someone for whom in this town things are no good. Bish means bad, Baha Masa in this community, and he remains there, Velozil Masa Achrita, and he doesn't trouble himself to go to move to another place. So if you remain in a place where things are bad for you, don't expect to turn to the court and they should move and they should come in and assist you when you have the option of solving your problem by moving to another community. With that, we have, with the help of the One Above, completed the fifth perek of Bava Metzia Perek Ezer Neshech. And Mirtz Hashem, next time we will continue with the sixth perek, Hasrichus Umnin. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.